Turn to the Old Testament book of Lamentations. Lamentations. Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter number 3. Going to ask if Pastor Jonathan, if you'll stand as we all stand in just a moment, and if you'll read chapter 3, verses 18 through verse number 26 in just a moment or two. Lamentations 3, verses 18 through verse number 26. Lamentations is known as a book of trouble and tears as well, and we can identify with this many times in our own individual life. If not now, it has been in the past, and surely it will be in the future as well. As a matter of fact, in this world, we are going to have tribulation, and Jesus testifies himself of this in John 16 and verse number 33. He says this, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but there's coming a day when tribulation and tears will be no more." And Jesus concludes that wonderful statement in John 16, verse number 33. He says this, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Thank God for that. But in the meantime, we're going to have to rely on God's faithfulness in times of trouble. God's faithfulness is often demonstrated in tough times. Think about this. He was faithful to Israel even when they were in slavery in Egypt. He was faithful to Daniel even while he was in the lion's den. He was faithful to the Apostle Paul even while he was in prison. He was faithful here to Sharon Baptist Church even after the retirement of our beloved pastor some 14 years ago. And in our text, we're going to find him once again being faithful to his prophet Jeremiah and also to the nation of Judah. And we find that Jeremiah finds hope in troubling times from a faithful God. I want you to think on this thought this evening of great is thy faithfulness. But understand this, that Jeremiah is not the only one who needs hope in troubling times. You and I both need help in troubling times. And we can draw from that same source of hope. We can draw from that same sense of the Holy Spirit of God working in lives and nations that Jeremiah did. So let's take a look this evening, and we'll look at really three short thoughts to help us to remember about the faithfulness of God. So let's stand this evening, and Pastor Jonathan is going to read our verses for Lamentations 3, verses 18 through verse number 26, and then we'll pray as we think on this thought of great is thy faithfulness. Pastor Jonathan.
And I said, "My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should hope quietly wait salvation."
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this evening, Father, for the faithfulness of your people, Father. Oh, God, I'm so glad that your people are faithful to you and faithful to the house of the Lord this very evening. So, Father, as we gather here this evening, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand that you are faithful. And Father, as we work down through three things very quickly, three reasons why that you're faithful, God, we will apply these truths to our hearts and lives today. And Father, we love you and we thank you. And Lord, we seek to give you honor and glory. And Lord, bless those that can't be here tonight. So many are still sick, Father. I pray that you would touch their bodies and heal them, Father. Bring them back to us again on Wednesday, Father, for the prayer and Bible study hour. And if that not be the case, Father, we look forward to seeing them on Sunday, Father, as we celebrate your love that you have for us and our agape feast. So, Father, bless now this time of preaching and teaching of your word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this evening. And literally, I have three very quick points because I don't think my voice is going to hold out very much longer than that this evening. If we write these down, I think they'll be a blessing to you. Notice, first of all, that the Lord is faithful in all conditions. The Lord is faithful in all conditions. In verses 18 through verse number 21, we find that Jeremiah was lamenting over the downfall of his people. Turn over to Lamentations chapter number 1. Look at verse number 16. We find Jeremiah writing in verse 16 of chapter 1. He says, for these things I weep, mine eyes. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. You see, this disobedience to God has led to the fall of Jerusalem, led to the captivity of the nation of Judah. We can read about that. I'll not take time to read that in verse number 1 through verse number 10 of chapter number 1, but I believe it would be very interesting for you to understand that. As you look at chapter 1 and verse number 1, the first word is how. And that word how comes from where we get the title of Lamentations in Hebrew, means how. And you can study that out as you go down through this book of Lamentations, that word how. I found that very interesting as you prepared for this message this week. And so we do find that to make matters worse, it seems like nobody seemed to care for Jeremiah or care for the nation. Look at verse number 12 in our text, verse number 12 of chapter number 1. Notice the Bible says this in verse 12. It is nothing to you, all ye that pass by. Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord saith, afflicted me in this day of his fierce anger. So not only do we find the chasing hand of God upon the nation of Judah, particularly upon the city of Jerusalem as well, we find that Jeremiah is crying out to God, and he's simply saying this: God, if that's not bad enough, it seems as if nobody cares for me. It seems, God, that even you have forgotten me. And we can share in Jeremiah's tears for his country as you look at the situation this great nation of ours is in. I want you to notice the moral condition of our land today. Thank God that there has been a change in America. Things are beginning to change for the better. And we think about this nation of ours. We think about the crimes, the drugs, the immorality that runs rampant in this great nation. I think about the callousness of the abortion on demand that's now almost available in almost every state of this great union of ours. I think about the cold condition of the churches. And literally, when I say the churches, I mean the people that literally make up the church. They're cold and they're callous, and we have no sensitivity to the things of the Lord any longer. But I want you to understand this. There is a message of triumph in this book of tears. I'm going to repeat that. There's a message of triumph in this book of tears. And there's a burst of delight in this book of despair. God is faithful to me, and he's faithful to you, even when things look dark, even when things look despair, even if you're taken out of your homeland and taken somewhere else, if the nation is overrun, understand this, that God is faithful even when things look dark in your life. And God's faithfulness revives a weeping prophet. Look at verse number 21 of chapter number 3. The Bible says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. He said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. I want you to understand the Lord is faithful in all conditions of life. He's faithful in the good times. He's faithful in the times that we look at and say that are not so good. He's faithful when the sun is shining. He's faithful when the sun is not shining and it's cloudy and it's raining and the boisterous winds are blowing up against you. I want you never to forget this. The Lord is faithful in all conditions of this life. Well, not only do we see the Lord's faithful in all conditions of this life, I want you to notice in verse 22 and verse number 23, the Lord is faithful in mercy and compassion. Somebody say amen. Glory to God that he is faithful in mercy and compassion. First, we find mercy. What a good word mercy is. We could define mercy as not getting something that we deserve. It's a word that brings hope to our troubled hearts. It's a word that brings light to those that are in darkness. I think about the one that received Christ today. She moved from darkness into marvelous, glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of Psalm 103 and verse number 11. The Bible says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. I'm thankful today for the mercy of God. I don't know about you, but I've been a recipient of the mercy of God. I'm thankful for his grace, but I'm more thankful for his mercy on my life. James puts it this way in James chapter 5 and verse number 11. He said, the Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy. You see, We ought to take the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was full of mercy and full of compassion. Our problem is simply this, is that we don't like to extend mercy unless we want to extend it to ourselves. We don't like to extend grace unless the grace is extended to ourselves. And so I think we ought to understand this, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy, and we ought to emulate our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and have mercy. Next, we find compassion. Compassion literally is a word of comfort. Compassion lets me feel as you feel. If you're feeling down, I can feel down. If you're feeling happy and glad and have joy, we could be happy, glad, and have joy. I think better yet, compassion allows God to feel what we feel. It reminds me on several different occasions in the New Testament where the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Notice how God's mercy, and notice how God's compassion reached out to Jeremiah, and he met the need of Jeremiah, his prophet. Verse 21 again says, "This I recall in my mind, therefore have I hope." My friend, what a good verse that is. We ought to memorize that. "This I recall in my mind, therefore have I hope." Why does he have hope? Because of God's mercy, because of God's compassion. Not only did he meet Jeremiah's need, but guess what? He'll meet our needs in times of sin and sorrow in our life. He'll meet our needs in times of trials and tribulations. He'll meet our needs in the times of the nasty now and now, the world, the flesh, and the devil that we live in. And we ought to be like Jeremiah, and we ought to be a channel in which God's mercy and God's compassion can flow through us to others all around us. Aren't you glad that God is faithful in providing mercy? Aren't you glad this evening that God is faithful in providing compassion in our time of needs? Well, I want you to notice something else this evening. I want you to notice, thirdly, in verses 24 through verse number 26, the Lord is faithful to all who place their confidence in him. Verses 24 and verse number 26. I'm so glad the Lord's faithful in all conditions. I'm so glad that he is faithful in mercy and compassion. But I'm also glad that he is faithful to all who place their confidence in him. Notice in verse number 24, the Bible says, Jeremiah speaking, he says, "The Lord is my portion. I will hope in him." In other words, Jeremiah is simply saying this: I'm going to place my confidence in God. I see his mercy. I see his compassion. I see that he is going to be faithful in all conditions. He said, so I'm going to place my portion in him. Look at verse 25. He continues on. And he says, "The Lord is good." Listen, we could stop right here and preach for days upon days upon days about how good the Lord has been to you. We could give testimony night after night about how good God has been to Sharon Baptist Church since its inception over 50 years ago. And then as we think about that, I think about all the misery of God's people had come to them because they would not truly seek him and they would not wait for him. They rejected him and rebelled for generations. They looked to other people to rescue him, and seeking him again would bring a renewed expression of God's goodness to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. And notice in verse 25, he continues on, "Unto them that wait for him." You know, part of placing our confidence in God is waiting for God. And herein lies our problem. We live in a microwave age that everything is done immediately. We want it done right away. If someone texts you and they don't text you back within 2 seconds, you begin to wonder what's wrong with them. Listen, sometimes we're just busy and we just can't text. Sometimes we're actually speaking to someone and don't want to say, "Oh, excuse me, I got somebody else more important than you I want to talk to." Listen, the truth of the matter is, sometimes it's hard to wait for them. We need to place our confidence in God, and we do that by waiting on him. Sometimes the hardest thing we need to do is just wait. Here's the truth. I don't like to wait. You don't like to wait. I particularly don't like to wait in hospitals. I hate sitting in a hospital waiting for the doctors to come, waiting for the test results. Some of you gave testimony. You waited hours and hours and hours and for them to say, well, just go home, blow your nose, it'll be all right in about a week. Amen. Listen, I hate waiting. I hate waiting at the hospital. I hate waiting at the doctor's office. I hate waiting in traffic. I hate when I have to wait in line at Walmart. Although I do have to do a mea culpa. Walmart's line has gotten a lot better now. They got that thing figured out, and it could be 20 people in line before I know it. I'm all the way up front, amen. And so I'm thankful they got that figured out. So I don't mind waiting so much in line at Walmart. But everywhere else, I hate to wait. But we need to wait on the Lord and wait on His timing for this deliverance. That's what Jeremiah was saying. He said, I am waiting on you unto them that wait for Him. Charles Spurgeon wrote this. He said, do not be in a hurry. Do not expect to be delivered out of trouble the first time you begin to cry unto God. How many say, that's me, Pastor? Something goes wrong in my life. I cry out to God and I expect, boom, boom, there, it's done. He continues on and he says this. He says, oh no, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Ryken in his commentary says this. There are times when the only thing a sufferer can do is to suffer as we wait for God. But waiting is good because God is always worth waiting for. Did you ever think about that? God is always worth waiting for. Then in verse 25, we find these words, to the soul that seeketh Him. So the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. And God desires more from us than just to sit soaking sour while we're waiting for Him. He desires, the Bible says, to seek Him. And you say, well, Pastor, how do I seek Him? You seek Him through your prayer life. You seek Him through your communion with Him each and every day through the Word of God as He challenges your heart and as you cry out to Him and speak to Him back. That's how we seek Him. And the problem is, most of the time, you and I, we say the Lord is good. We say we're going to wait, we're going to unto them that wait, to the soul that seeketh Him, but we don't ever do the hard part of seeking Him. We're just sitting, soaking, and souring, waiting for God to do something for us. And then look at verse number 26. Verse 26 says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, we can quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, and literally the deliverance of the Lord. And our deliverance will only come only in God's timing. That's why He says, wait. That's why He says, wait. I'm going to repeat it again. That's why He tells us to seek and to wait for Him. Because God's timing is not always our timing. Well, as we close tonight, notice this. God will meet you with mercy and compassion right now. So why don't you seek Him? Why don't you take the time to wait for Him? Why don't you have your hope in Him? Why won't you just trust Him? Jeremiah said in verse number 21, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. If you'll seek Him, if you'll wait for Him, if you'll hope in Him, if you'll trust in Him, recall those to your mind. Therefore, Jeremiah said, I have hope. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't, but the Lord knows. I can't imagine it could be anything worse than a whole nation being conquered and be shipped out of where they were. I can't imagine it to be worse than God's chastening hand being upon the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. I can't imagine that. But when trials and trouble and tears are more than you can bear, understand the Lord is faithful in all conditions. The Lord is faithful in mercy. He's faithful in compassion. And lastly, the Lord is faithful to all who place their confidence in Him. Would you be willing to do that today? If you're willing to do that, you too could say, like Jeremiah, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. You see, my friend, what you're going through may seem like a hopeless situation. It probably seemed hopeless to the nation of Judah. It seemed definitely hopeless to the prophet Jeremiah. But understand this. He says, because I can recall this from the word of God, that I'm seeking him, I'm waiting for him, I'm hoping in him, I'm trusting in him. He says, now, therefore, have I hope. Let's pray.